by afternoon, the high 94. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 86 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, let's do this. Brand new week. The Gary Harris Show is on the air for Monday, July 21st, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris. Chase Brumfield alongside Manny the Controls, taking your phone calls on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904. We're ready to rock and roll today, and I'm in today, but beginning tomorrow, I'm going to be out for the rest of the week. Going to head down, take a little beach getaway before football season, and Wyatt Fulton from T-Town Sports Daily will be in for me with Chase and Reed, who will, I think will be in some this week as well, the rest of the week beginning tomorrow. But I'm here today, and we got a great show on tap for you. We'll run it down here in just a second. First, though, I need to tell you, as always, this hour of the Gary Harris Show is being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, member-owned and not-for-profit. It really is just a better way of banking. I encourage you to find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. It's your trusted partner for financial success. Embrace financial well-being with Alabama Credit Union, or get by and see them at one of their 38 locations around the state of Alabama and one in the panhandle of Florida. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership. Then join today and feel good about your money and put a little extra change in your pocket. Our good lineup for today, we've got Rodney Orr from TiderInsider.com, Tider Insider TV. We'll talk to him about walking the red carpet last week over at the Lyric Theater. Man, I hate I didn't get to go to that. And we'll also talk more about me missing my opportunity to be in the film. Ronnie is prominently featured in it. It opens in theaters nationwide July 31st. Nothing but a winner. Ronnie will be with us to discuss that. And, of course, Alabama football recruiting and the latest that's going on there as well. At 10 o'clock in studio, Terrence Whittle, the athletics director at Stillman College, he will be with us to talk about all the great stuff they've got going on. Really is a great time at Stillman College with membership in the HBCU Athletic Conference. And also they've got a big fundraising golf tournament coming up here soon out at Tall Pines to raise money for the athletic department at Stillman. Terrence Whittle is a guy that I've known for a while. He was the head baseball coach there at Stillman and does a terrific, terrific job. And as I said, there's a lot of great things happening at Stillman, and we are going to have him in studio to discuss all of the great stuff, including that fundraising golf tournament coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. Then at 10:30, Casey Smith on golf recaps the Open Championship, the Scotty Scheffler Show. Chase, did you catch any of the Open Championship?
Just a little bit, I did.
Well, Scotty, and we'll talk to Casey about this. Now, his personality is completely different. His demeanor is completely different. He's not, how do I say this? He's not, I think, you know, Tiger kind of didn't just elevate the game. He kind of, help me out here, Chase. He was bigger than life. He was, I'm trying to think of the right term, what he did for golf. You can't, I can't think of how I'm trying to describe it. Scotty's not doing that. In other words, Scotty is more of a everyman, you know what I mean? And he's not, you know, a celebrity in the sense that Tiger was. Elevating the game, I guess is what I'm saying. Tiger elevated the game. He brought in non-golfers. He brought in people who had never shown interest in golf. He made golf tournaments almost like celebrity happenings. I don't think Scotty's, you know, doing any of that. In fact, I know that he's not. And I don't think that people watch Scotty Scheffler and say, oh, my gosh, man, I got to go to a golf tournament. Or, oh, my, you know, I want to be around Scotty. Tiger was a celebrity. But what Scotty is doing is he's playing at a clip that's very similar to what Tiger played at. If you look at Tiger's prime, well, he had, you know, but for 4 years, from 2002 to 2005, And then you look at what Scotty's done from 2022 to 2025, Chase, the numbers are remarkably similar. In fact, you could almost say that Scotty's got him by just a little bit. I'll just go ahead and run him down for you since I brought it up. Kyle Porter, who is a golf writer, put this out, and he used Data Golf as his source. This is what Tiger did from 2002 to 2005. He played in 79 events. He had 18 wins, 4 majors, did not win a Players Championship during that time, and gained 2.8 shots per round on the field. Scottie Scheffler, from 2022 to right now, 81 events, 20 wins, 4 majors, 2 Players Championships, and gained 2.8 shots per round on the field. Almost identical numbers. Now, Scotty has 2 more wins and he has 2 majors. He has played in 3 more, or like I said, 2 more events. So, based on the numbers, Scotty's current pace outpaces Tiger just a little bit. And they do it in completely different ways. Like I said, Tiger embraced the celebrity. Tiger understood that he was elevating the game, that he was bringing in an audience and bringing people to golf that probably had never played or had an interest in the game. And I don't think, and you, Chase, correct me if I'm wrong, Chase, if you think I'm wrong, I don't think there's people out there and I know they know how good he is. I'm not saying that, obviously. But I don't think there's people that say, oh my gosh, man, Scotty Scheffler, I'm going to play golf because of Scotty Scheffler. I don't get that sense, do you?
No, not at all. I think with Scotty Scheffler, he's just kind of a Kermit, kind of in his own little world and just playing golf. I had watched something earlier, and he was talking about just going to Chipotle later on.
In fact, we need to probably find that sound and play it at some point this morning. His press conference prior to the Open Championship, I'll look for it, or Chase can look for it. That Chase is right. He just said, the minute that golf becomes more important to me than my family and my, then I'll quit. I'll quit playing. And I don't want to speak for anyone, but that is a rare trait in this day and age in athletics. I'm not saying there are other pro athletes I'm not saying other pro athletes don't care about their family, but when he says that, I think he means it. When he says it's more important to me to be a good husband and a good father and a good son and a good sibling and a good person than it is to be a good golfer. In fact, Chase has already got that. That's a great word, Chase. Let's go ahead and, while I'm on the Scotty Scheffler kick, let's go ahead and play that clip. This is his press conference before the Open Championship, kind of putting it all in perspective for the way he views it.
For a long time, golf is not how I identify myself. I don't identify myself by winning tournaments, chasing trophies, you know, being famous or whatever it is. Like, when I go home, if I go to there's 2 Chipotles that I eat at home. There's one, well, actually, not really one anymore. There's one right where I grew up. It's kind of near SMU's campus. If I was to go to that Chipotle and try to eat nowadays, it would be very difficult for me. There's another one in a different part of town that I'm not going to tell you where it is. But if I go there, nobody recognizes me ever. And so famous is just one of those things. It's like, in some circles, like, right now I'm the best player in the world. This week I was the best player in the world. You know, I'm sitting here with the trophy. We're going to start all over in Memphis, you know, back to even par. Show goes on. And it's hard to describe what it feels like because, yeah, I don't feel any different because I've won a golf tournament. You know, this is not the be-all, end-all for me, but I'm extremely grateful for it. I mean, I have worked since I was 2 or 3 years old to have a chance to play professional golf for a living. And now I've been able to win tournaments that I just dreamed of playing in. And it's an amazing feeling, and I'm so grateful to be able to live out my dreams. But, you know, like I said, my faith and my family is what's most important to me. And I try to live as normal a life as possible because I feel like a normal guy. I have the same friends I had growing up. I don't think that I'm anything special just because, you know, some weeks I'm better at shooting a lower score than other guys are.
All right. That was actually the press conference from post-round yesterday, but he kind of echoed the same comments he made pre-round. He's an everyday guy, likes to go to Chipotle, doesn't like to be recognized. And pre-tournament, that's when he talked about, you know, the day that golf was more important to him than, like I said, being a husband, a dad, a son, a sibling, that he would give it up. But he kept that tone yesterday following the tournament, and it's just amazing perspective. All right, also over the weekend, and we got some phone calls that we'll get to in the next segment, but Braves, all that talk and, you know, chatter about they're going to come out and make a run. Well, they won the first game against the Yankees on Friday night, then they lost Saturday and Sunday, both games that they could have won, especially Saturday. Blew a 5-0 lead and a 7-2 lead. And I asked the question on social media yesterday, are they going to do anything? Are they just going to keep limping along like everything's okay and they're going to make a run? Or are they going to try to revamp this club at all? I mean, the strategy just seems to be, you know, Snicker just seems to say the same things, and Alex Anthopoulos, nobody's heard from him. You know, meanwhile, I think they're 10.5 out of the wild card. Listen, there's no chance to win the division. But they just keep kind of limping along like everything's okay. I mean, they just keep running out there saying we're going to play good baseball. And, you know, they lost 2 of 3 at home coming out of the break to the Yankees. This team's going nowhere. I said it, you know, I've been saying it now for a couple of months. This team is who they are. They're not going to suddenly reinvent themselves and become this great ball club. That's not happening. So what are you going to do? Are you going to, I mean, you're now 43-55. You're 12 games under 500. I just don't understand what this team is doing. I can't, you know, they just act like they're in the contention. I mean, they act like that they're you know, 2.5 back instead of 12.5 back, and they got a chance. And I would start getting rid of some of these guys and bringing in some prospects. I hate to say it, but I think this year is over. But, you know, nothing from the Braves. It's just crickets. Just business as usual. We'll run it out there again tonight, and we'll run a lineup card out there, and we'll go play. So trying to figure that out. NASCAR, I'm mad at myself. I'm kicking myself. I should be on a three-way race winning streak. I knew when I didn't take Denny Hamlin, it was going to bite me. I opened the door for Matt, and I went it. Listen, Chase Elliott had a chance, but that's Denny Hamlin's track, and quite frankly, I blew it. I should have picked Hamlin. It would be 4-3. I would be on a three-race winning streak. At Dover, instead, I opened the door by picking Elliott, who has the one race win, but, you know, I mean, outside of that, he's running well, but he's not the dominant driver that he once was, and Denny Hamlin took the checkered, so now instead of 4-3 and riding a three-race win streak, it's 5-2. Matt gets the win. I do not. So anyway, that's kind of a look at what all is going on. Next week, we crank up with Alabama beginning reporting and getting ready for fall camp. But this week's going to be a little bit kind of the calm before the storm. And as I said, with that in mind, I'm going to be taking off down to the beach on tomorrow. All right, let's get to the break. It's 9:17. The Gary Harris Show is off and running. Tom, we'll get to you on the other side. Rodney Orr coming up at 9:30. Terrence Whittle at 10 o'clock and at 10:30. Casey Smith on golf. Your phone calls, as I said, are welcome on the Storage Center hotline, 205-342-9904. We'll be back after this.
Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Monday morning. Northport City Attorney Ron Davis expected to present a resolution to the city council tonight. It would support an application by University Beach to receive tax rebates from the Sweet Home Alabama Tourism Investment Act of 2023. That act encourages tourism development throughout the state by offering tax rebates to businesses that invest.
9 WTPC 1230 Sports Radio Studio is presented by Be Dry Alabama. Be Dry Waterproofing. Online at BeDryAlabama.com.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three.
Medications for COVID exist. If you test positive this summer, ask your doctor if they're right for you. cope. Visit PfizerForAll.com/COVID-19 to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Since 2011, Billy Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
All right, 9:21. Welcome back to the Gary Harris Show. We're going to jump out on the Storage Center hotline, and Tom is going to lead us off this morning. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Gary. Good morning. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
You know, I was thinking about your comments about the difference between Tiger and Scotty, and to me, as a consumer of product, when I saw Tiger and Hank Caney in the U.S. Amateur Championship. When Tiger was his last one that he won, it was obvious that this was a great golfer. Hank, a great golfer. And what a battle that was, all those extra holes. I don't know if you remember that match or not, but it was a great one. And you knew Tiger was coming on and that he was going to make a splash on the PGA. And he went to college and was good in college. And but then when he hit the PGA, he brought an element of entertainment, and being black and for pretty much a white sport. And I don't mean that negatively. It's just that the majority of golfers, 99% were white, and here comes this black kid on the PGA tour, and he comes on and misses a cut at Augusta, and the naysayers, they all came out. But then, you know, it was entertaining to see the underdog get momentum and achieve and start bringing in the trophies and become the first golfer billionaire. And it was quite the story and entertaining to follow. And I think that would be a major difference between, you know, I don't mean this up, but Scotty would be a more boring story than what Tiger was. Do you agree with that?
I think that Scotty's more bland. Yeah, I said that. I mean, he's just a different. They're different personality,
but different circumstance too.
Well, first of all, Tiger was never an underdog. Now I don't know where you came up with underdog. I don't know what you mean by that. Tiger was on the radar. Tiger was on the Mike Douglas show when he was 3 years old. He was a prodigy.
Yeah, I get that.
I mean, he was never.
Playing in tournaments.
Well, he won three straight USAMs. I mean, he was expected to do what he did. But I agree with you, generational talent, yes, and generational in the sense that you're right. He did bring a lot of new eyes to the game. So, yes, I agree with you there. Scotty, I think people enjoy watching him play. I think they enjoy the man that he is and the father. But you're right. He's not bringing in – that's what I was saying earlier in the show. He's not – people aren't watching Scotty Scheffler, I don't think, and saying, oh, my God, I want to play golf. If you don't play golf, you're probably not watching Scotty and saying, I want to play golf. I think a lot of people who didn't play golf watched Tiger and said, yes, I want to try playing golf. So they are
Justin
different.
Justin Thomas.
Yeah, they are. They are very. They
Justin
are,
Thomas, Jordan Spieth, all those guys in that age group right there, Tiger was their idol and motivated them to go out and play good golf, and they did.
Yeah.
And but I think Tiger, I think there was a little bit of underdog type thing with Tiger when he came on the tour, and you know, for minorities had not won that much in golf, and I thought he brought that element and opened that door up to many more golf.
No, there's no doubt about that. There's no doubt that a lot of people of color saw Tiger as a role model, and just, you know, brought him into the game of golf. So maybe you got a point there. But as far as what was expected of him, everyone knew he was going to be a great player, and I think that was not something that caught anybody off guard. I think everybody knew Tiger Woods because at every level he had dominated. Every level. Junior, and then, as you said, winning three straight, you know, U.S. amateurs, and then at 21 years of age, winning the Masters in record fashion in 1997, and he never looked back. And so,
but, great point.
But Scotty was also a very good amateur, junior golfer and amateur golfer, and a very similar background.
But
did you see
Bryce? What's his name? The long hitter. But did you see what he said about Scotty? He said, I played with him a bunch in college. Said he wasn't that good.
Well, he's come on. Yeah, yeah.
What he said, too. He said, but I tell you what, since then, he's been all over it. And I thought that was kind of funny he said that.
Yeah, yeah, Bryson DeChambeau. And what about DeChambeau? I mean, he shoots 78 in the first round.
What, man? Golly, he told the guy on the TV, analyst guy, he said, and they said, what was you thinking after that 78? He said, going home.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was a good tournament, I thought.
Oh, great, great tournament. Great, terrific, terrific tournament. And the major season's already over. That's why I don't like playing the PGA.
What's that weather over there? I mean, that does not like the British Open Saturday and Sunday, wasn't it?
It was great weather. Great weather.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
For the North Atlantic out there, and it's like a pond. It was calm and no waves. I thought, my Lord, what's going on?
All right, Tom. Enjoyed it, man. Thank you. Appreciate the call. All right, it is 9:27 here on the Gary Harris Show. Scotty Scheffler does it again. But I will say this, and kind of wrapping up our golf chase for now. I didn't like it when they did it. I don't like moving the PGA Championship up from August to May. Yeah, it's hot in August, but it's hot in May. And it's just like the majors are so condensed. Now they're over. They're over. I liked having, you know, what they call it, golf's final shot at glory, because you had that PGA Championship right before football season. And, you know, now the majors are over. We don't get another one until next April with the Masters. And now they're so fast, you do have the Players' Championship. Some people call it the fifth major, but you have the Players' Championship in March. And then you have the Masters in April, the PGA Championship in May, the U.S. Open in June, and the Open Championship in July. And then they're over with. All right, we're going to try to get to Philip real quick here before we hit the break. Good morning.
Good morning, Gary. Gary, have you looked at Alabama's sort of potential two-deep lineup very much this summer?
I have not. I mean, I've scanned the roster, but I hadn't really gone through the two-deep. I assume you probably have. Have you taken a good look at it?
Well, I just did a little while ago. I've just not been into it to that extent yet. But I'll tell you, I just did a quick glance. We got some experience coming back on this team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm with you.
I mean, even, you know, Jeremiah Beeman, if I'm not mistaken, he played pretty good against Michigan.
He did. He stepped in there when they were in the bowl game, and you know, there was some, of course, Michigan had a ton of opt-outs, but the roster looked a little different. I think they're high on Jeremiah Beeman. He's up over 300 pounds. He's athletic. Mm-hmm. He's a great high school player. But I'm with you in terms of this team having depth and having outstanding talent across the board. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I mean, I think this is a very deep, talented football team, and I'll be surprised and disappointed if this team's not in the college football playoff.
I will be, too. And I'll tell you, I like, on defense, there's only two guys that really didn't see action last year as far as, you know, really getting their feet wet. And that's Caden Jones and Drake Kirkpatrick Jr. And I think they're going to help out a lot this year. And then offensively, pretty much everybody that's on the team got some playing time last year. So, It's going to be really interesting. Could be a real huge boost for Alabama.
Tell you what I'm going to do when I get back from vacation on Monday. I'm going to have the depth chart. Because we're going to be in full football mode beginning next week. Philip. So I am. I'm kind of glancing at the roster now, but you need to call in and break down the depth chart for us next week and how you think it's going to play out. That'd be a pretty good conversation.
When are you going and where are you going?
I'm just going to run down to Gulf Shores beginning tomorrow, and I'll be back on Saturday. So just a little final summer getaway. Thank you, Philip.
Excellent. See you.
All right, 9:30 here on the Gary Harris Show. We're going to come back with Rodney Orr from TiderInsider.com. And also, let me mention to you real quick, the $99 suit sale at T-Town's Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall, $99, has you looking like $1 million if you go by and see Tom at T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall. Coming back with Rodney Orr next year on the Gary Harris Show.
So he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans.
Find us in the vitamin aisle. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor's social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's Move Over Law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard, aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose your hard-earned money. Learn to protect yourself at asc.alabama.gov. Paid for by the Investor Protection Trust and brought to you by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Follow the Crimson Tide on their journey to another national championship.
Touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Into the Gary Harris Show, and Chase is in the process of getting Rodney Orr on the line for our Tider Insider segment. And now we've got Rodney from Tider Insider and TITV. Good morning, Rodney.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Let's get right to it before we jump into Alabama football and next week with fall camp getting cranked up and coming off of SEC Media Days. Let's start with an event that you were able to attend because you're a prominent part of the movie, Nothing But a Winner, the Alabama football movie that focuses on the eras of Coach Bryant and Coach Saban. The beautiful Lyric Theater was the world premiere last Wednesday night. You walked the red carpet along with all the other dignitaries. It'll open nationwide in theaters on July 31st. But boy, that had to be quite a thrill.
Well, I would say this. It's something that I never really expected. And, of course, it started a couple of summers ago when the film crew came to Tider Insider TV, and they filmed our show live, obviously, while we were doing it live. And then, of course, did the interview with them. And honestly, Gary, I did not know I was even going to be used in the movie until probably a couple of months ago. I got a call from one of the producers who wanted to go through a couple of things. And, you know, he didn't tell me at that point I was in it. I had to ask him if I made the cut. So then at that point, I really didn't know how prominently I would be in it. But, yeah, I mean, I appeared several times. And, it, you know, obviously not about me, but about, from Bryant to Saban. I think obviously the civil rights movement in the 60s was a big focus of that, and how, you know, Coach Bryant had won national championships, Alabama in 61, 64, and 65. Should have won it in 66, as we know. And then the program started to slip somewhat. Yeah, and they had a couple of 6-5, 6-5-1 seasons, 69 and 70. And, you know, Coach Bryant wants it to integrate. And obviously the one of the key points in that was when USC played at Legion Field and Sam the Bam Cunningham ran up and down the field on Alabama. And, you know, eventually Alabama had John Mitchell and Wilbur Jackson. Actually, Wilbur Jackson was in the stands for that game. He was a player, but he wasn't dressed for the game. Alabama began to continue to use, to recruit the black athlete, and how that impacted Alabama football in the 70s. You know, they won three more national championships and, you know, obviously 73, 78, and 79. And then you had to go through some of the issues that you had with, some of the coaches between Bryant and Saban. But then, of course, it ended with the Saban era that was, you know, really fantastic. And it's just amazing as you watch the film, the parallels between, in a lot of ways, between the Bryant era and the Saban era.
Yeah, it's outstanding. And I've been telling the story since the movie, hit the press, that I was supposed to be interviewed and missed the email, and not that I would have made the cut. I'm not saying that, but I sure am disappointed that I didn't at least get to do an interview to talk about Alabama football. But I'm glad that you did. And again, hits theaters nationwide on July 31st. Nothing but a winner. And it's, you know, got some great Alabama families. That's one reason they had the access they did to Alabama football. The Castiles are involved. The Humphreys are involved. Rodney, and of course, addition to obviously, Hollywood directors and producers, but Caleb Castile is, I know I had him on the show a couple weeks ago. I don't know how many people realize it. The ones that watch him, I'm sure do, but he's become a very accomplished actor, going back to Woodlawn when he played Tony Nathan, but, you know, NCIS and various television shows and movies. Caleb Castile has carved out quite a nice career in Hollywood, Rod.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he was a huge part of this, too. He was one of the people involved. I can't remember if he was actually labeled one of the producers or whatever, but, he certainly had an executive role in this. And, you know, Marlon Humphrey was a huge contributor to this financially. He made it possible, I think. You know, there were others, too, but Marlon Humphrey is a former player. You know, made a huge contribution to this. And obviously Bobby was in the video, in the film, and Bobby was there, you know, at the premiere, and good to see him. But there were so many, you know, Walter Lewis, you mentioned Jeremiah Castile, George Pugh, some of the older players, Ralph Stokes, you know, obviously Judge John England from here in Tuscaloosa, you know, was a big part of the film as well. So, it was a great, great event. And there were a lot of people. Eric Anders was there, too, Gary. And, you know, one of the things I say, too, about that, because I would like to mention that, you know, Eric Anders made one of the biggest plays in Alabama football history.
Sure did.
And for some reason, sometimes it just gets skipped over. But he made one of the biggest plays when he sacked Garrett Gilbert in the Rose Bowl, 2010 yep. Rose Bowl. And, you know, Courtney Upshaw recovered and Alabama went on to win.
Yeah, so, yeah, because at that point
he was there as well.
Yeah, Texas was back in the game, and that was a game changing play.
Huge play.
Yeah. So, well, that's an awesome event last week, and Glad you could be a part of it. All right, Alabama football right now, this week kind of is the calm before the storm. We had SEC Media Days last week. Again, team is ready to be ready to go next week. But coming out of Media Days, Rod, I mean, again, it's there's so much conjecture by all of the schools. And again, I use coaches as an example. I think every coach goes over there with the game plan of getting the fan base on his side, whether that's talking his team up or whether that's lowering expectations, whether that, you know, whatever it is. You want to come out of Media Days as a coach feeling like your fan base is on board with you. I don't think there's any doubt that Alabama is on board with Kalen DeBoer right now. And you and I have had this discussion quite a bit in recent weeks. Ultimately, you got to go out in the fall and you got to win games. We understand that. But right now, Alabama appears to be in a great spot with the fan base, which we know how hard it is to get the fans on board sometimes at Alabama. But with the fan base, with the recruiting, with the coaching staff, with the alignment within the football building, with the roster, just everything is on a really positive note right now. And I do think that is noteworthy, Rod, in the sense that last year was not a great season for Alabama. 9-4, didn't make the playoff, played miserably in the bowl game against Michigan. So to be in this spot right now in late July, I think it's a real big plus for Alabama football.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously they feel like, and when I say they, I'm talking about inside the building there, I think they feel really confident about the way this group of players, and obviously led by the coaching staff, but the way the players responded after the season. I think Kalen DeBoer went to every single, you know, not just position unit, but every aspect of the program, whether it's strength and conditioning or nutrition, every aspect of the program, and said basically his message was, we've got to do better, and we're going to do better. So I think, you know, I'm talking within a few days after that Michigan loss, and they went into, you know, the off-season program, the fourth quarter program, with a positive mindset about, you know, we're gonna make this happen. We're gonna have the right attitudes as we go into this, and understood that the you know, fourth quarter program was great. It carried over to spring practice. You know, they felt like that they had a great spring practice. 15 of those practices, of course, ended with the A day, but. You know, I think they felt like everything went extremely well. They did a fantastic job, led by Courtney Morgan, of kind of building relationships with high school prospects and aligning those guys to come in for the visits, which it was an incredibly impressive list of visitors that they had in June. And then they closed on a lot of those guys. So they've done a fantastic job there. And now here we are, just after SEC Media Days, we're heading into camp. And it's a really important time as they, you know, prepared, put the final touches on being prepared for this for the start of the season against Florida State. But I think everything has been positive. But again, it's kind of like you said, all of that stuff's great. But the bottom line is, how do they perform on Saturdays? And I think, you know, this team has a chance to be really, really good. But we have to see a lot of consistency that we didn't see last year. I mean, you know, you don't beat Georgia and then lose to Vanderbilt. You beat LSU and you lose to Oklahoma. You know, then you go play a decimated Michigan team in that bowl game and you lose. How, I don't know, but they lost. And so, I mean, those are things that I think – and look, I say this too, with all that said, you know, that first year can be really tough. We've talked about that repeatedly. So now I think Kalen DeBoer and this staff and his program are kind of stepping to that next level, and where this is your team now. And I'm not saying that last year necessarily wasn't, but I think now after a year, this is really his team.
Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt. It as I said, everything feels really good right now, really positive. Recruiting has slowed a little after that blitz that Alabama was on, as you would expect, but there's still some stuff happening that I want to get to in a moment. But first, I want to talk about a really good piece that you've got out at TiderInsider.com. If you're a member, you can read it. If not, for just $48, you can become a reader. We talked about the roster and, you know, the way they've roster retention, the way they retain guys, a lot of quality players coming back, a lot of depth, it appears. The two deep, I think, is going to be strong. But still, there are some newcomers to watch, quite a few, in fact, either through the transfer portal or through just, you know, some true freshmen. I don't want you to recap the entire article, but at the same time, you pointed out several guys that you're keeping an eye on.
Yeah, because a lot of those guys already started to establish themselves in the spring. For example, I think Isaiah Horton at wide receiver is, he certainly established himself in the spring to be among that top three, I think, with Ryan Williams and Jeremy Bernard. And I think Isaiah Horton can make a big difference because, he gives Alabama an experienced, big, physical receiver, but can make big plays. He caught, 56 balls at Miami last year, and he had a great spring. And I think, too, there's certainly other guys. Most of them were actually, I think, transfers. But there's so many young guys. You know, Gary, we did a piece a couple of months ago, or it may not have been that long ago. I don't remember exactly how long ago it was. It was basically that Alabama had knocked the recruiting class out of the park. This last recruiting class, the guys that came in early and went through spring practice. And, you know, we said that there was a source inside the building that had told us that the coaching staff felt like they had knocked it out of the park with that class after seeing them in the spring drills. So you could list a lot of guys that, you know, certainly could have an opportunity to make an immediate impact or an impact at some point in this season. And, there are a lot of those transfers, whether it's, again, I mentioned Horton, but I think like Cam Dewberry at left guard, he's got a lot of SEC experience from Texas A&M. He could step in and be the guy that kind of provides that missing piece there at left guard. You know, we'll see. He certainly has worked hard to put himself in a position to do that. Cam Calhoun in the secondary, even though that secondary is pretty well cemented in terms of guys that they have, you know how injuries can impact things. But also, we've seen from Kalen DeBoer already, he's not afraid to throw guys in the game early. We didn't see that. Nick Saban kind of had a different philosophy, but it's just amazing how quickly we saw a lot of young secondary players get into games, and I'm talking about meaningful games in early spots. I think there are guys that can contribute that, those transfers, but also a guy like Lotzier Brooks, you throw him in as a dynamic receiver. He gives you, something else to go with Ryan Williams in that regard. So just a lot of guys that I think could make impacts that we certainly want to watch and see how they continue to progress once we get into camp.
Ron Neuer with us from TiderInsider.com, Tider Insider TV. All right, recruiting-wise, as I said, it's slowed a little bit after that blitz that Alabama's been on, but there's still some recruiting going on. And, of course, I guess most Bama fans right now are focused on Tank Jones out of St. Paul's down in Mobile. I understand that something could be happening here early August with him as far as an announcement.
Tank Jones, and again, I don't know if he's actually set the date. I know he was talking late July, early August, sometime in August, and I actually, very good source down in Mobile texted me last night and said that, if it was today, he thought Tank would go to Oregon.
Okay.
So, I think Bama may be facing a little bit of a battle there. And again, things change, and even when they commit, things can change, sure, obviously. And even when they get there, things can change, it sounds like based on what I heard last night from someone very connected down there that, Oregon's going to be tough to beat right now if we're talking today.
But Alabama will continue to be in there and battle. And the good news is now this class is at a level that, you're just adding to it. I mean, it's been put together. It's a top five type class. They're going to add some more pieces. You'd love to get Tank Jones. But regardless, Rodney, I think that's another thing this staff has done this year is not only established that there were good recruiters. We knew that, but that they can recruit in-state and with a heavy emphasis in the Southeast as well as, going nationwide.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that was a question or even a concern for some people that, hey, you know what, can you recruit this state? I know that Auburn, you know, was certainly really happy with the way they felt like they dominated the state last year, you know. But Kalen DeBoer and his staff did a fantastic job this year with the guys that they've gotten so far, whether it's Zion Gibson, obviously, out of Gadsden City, Sadarian Morgan, the receiver out of Benjamin Russell, E.J. Crowell out of Jackson, you know, all of those guys, you know, fantastic players. And there's others, Mari Johnson, and then also Jamarian Matthews. Even though he's at Gainesville, Georgia, I consider him an in-state player because sure. He transferred from Madison Sparkman. So, you know, a lot of great players. And like you said, I mean, man, they've even gone around the Southeast. They got the number one corner out of Georgia. I mean, he's the number one corner by some in the country, certainly one of the top two or three, Jordan Edmonds. They got one of the top linebackers in the country, Xavier Griffin out of the state of Georgia. You know, they've done a really good job. I think they got a fantastic defensive lineman out of Mississippi and Nolan Wilson. They got another really good defensive lineman out of Indianapolis, and J.J. Finch. So they've done a really good job, you know, all around. They've shown that they can recruit anywhere, kind of continuing what they've been started. You know, but you continue to look at things, and I do think that, Gary, if you look at this class, they've got two offensive linemen committed. They need another one. And I still think, and I've heard some people snicker at, oh, you know, they're getting defensive linemen that they're going to build up. They're going to make them bigger. They're going to – and I get that. That is a philosophy, and it works. But if there's one thing I would like to see, I would like to see them get a natural – you know, some of these natural 300-pounder interior-type players. I get some of these guys are going to get bigger. J.J. Finch has gotten bigger. He's already 280. Stephen Boa, from last year, he's a guy that they built up. You know, he's gained a lot of weight. He's over 300 pounds, was about a 255, 260-pound kid. So I get that that works. That is a philosophy that works. But you see Texas and Ohio State and Georgia – And some of these prominent programs, LSU, attracting these, you know, big physical players that are natural 300-pounders that are – I don't know that they're necessarily ready to come in, but physically they're developed. You know, you'd like to see a couple of those guys as well.
All right. Thank you, Rodney. Great stuff as always. And TiderInsider.com, if you're already a member, that's awesome. But not that hard to sign up, is it?
No, it's TiderInsider.com. It's only $48 a year. You can get instant access with your credit card if you prefer. There is an address there to send a check. Gives you all our premium information, but also our community of Alabama fans there. And Gary, I think Caden Kawa, the quarterback, the four-star from Utah, is expected to announce today. And as we've said for a few weeks now, Alabama's been in a favorable position with him.
Yeah, we'll definitely watch for that, for sure. All right, thanks, Rod.
Okay, buddy. Take care.
All right. It's 9:55. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up the first hour of the Gary Harris Show right after this.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Drew DeArmond. We'll talk to Martin Houston. Still a lot to unpack from SEC Media Days. We'll do that starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tuscaloosa's Old Colony Golf Course is an 18-hole championship layout designed by 1976 U.S. Open champion Jerry Pate. Director of Golf John Gray and fitting specialist Bob Montgomery are PGA certified. Mike Shivitz is the head professional and director of the Tuscaloosa Junior Golf Program. Call today to secure a tee time.
A Lenovo education account. Free shipping, easy returns, flexible financing. That's Lenovo.com.
Lenovo.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials. And for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos, with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partly sunny, hot and humid today. A few spots could see a shower or storm this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 93. Tonight's low, 75. Tomorrow, morning sun. A few scattered storms by afternoon. The high, 94. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 86 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show. For Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9.
And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 9:59. That's going to wrap it up for hour number one of the Gary Harris Show. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, member owned and not for profit. It's just a better way of banking. Find out more at alabamacu.com. Second hour is on the way. We're going to have our friend Casey Smith on golf at 10:30, and we'll kick it off with Stillman College Athletics Director Terrence Whittle in studio. Talk about all the great things Stillman's got going on with their athletic department, HBCU conference, and big fundraising golf tournament coming up. We'll have that for you in the second hour of the Gary Harris Show. It's on the way.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Detroit Tigers ended a six-game losing streak, winning at Texas Sunday night 2-1. The Brewers won their 10th straight game, defeating the Dodgers in L.A. again 6-5. The Dodgers are first in the NL West, but just 3.5 ahead of the Padres now. San Diego won 8-1 at Washington. Boston beat the Cubs 6-1 in Chicago, so the Cubs and Brewers are now tied for first in the NL Central. Houston won 11-3 at Seattle. Houston first in the AL West, four games over the Mariners. Arizona beat St. Louis 5-3. Eugenio Suarez hit two more homers. He has 35. The Yankees' Aaron Judge hit his 36th home run. New York won at Atlanta 4-2. Toronto sent San Francisco to a fifth straight loss, 8-6. Phillies lost. Mets
may vary. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partly sunny, hot and humid today. A few spots could see a shower or storm this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 93. Tonight's low, 75. Tomorrow, morning sun. A few scattered storms by afternoon. The high, 94. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 86 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for The Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, here we go. Hour number two, The Gary Harris Show for this Monday, July 21st, 2025. Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield back for another hour. This hour of the program being brought to you, as always, by Patterson Law Firm. Find out more at Patterson Law PC. If you're injured in an automobile accident and you give Paul Patterson and North Patterson a call at 205-345-1000, you won't get a call center. You'll talk to real attorneys right here on the ground in West Alabama. That's what makes them special. Sit down face to face. They'll let you know if you have a case, and if you don't, they'll let you know that too. That's the advantages of going local. Nothing against the 1-800 law firms, but when I need a lawyer, I want somebody right here in Tuscaloosa. I want Patterson Law Firm. Again, find out more at PattersonLawPC.com, 205-345-1000. Local, trusted, and here for when you need us most.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of services performed by other lawyers.
And as promised, the athletics director at Stillman College in Tuscaloosa, Terrence Whittle, is with us in studio to talk about all the great stuff that Stillman has going on. Coach Whittle, appreciate it.
Thank you, man, for having me.
Yeah, now, listen, you're transitioning. You've been the AD, but you gave up the baseball coaching responsibilities. What went into that decision?
Well, man, it was tough. You know, I've been a college baseball coach, man, 30 years mm-hmm. or so, you know, and obviously, you know, kind of transitioning to the AD's role mm-hmm. And then managing the baseball program was, for me, was an honor, you know, to do. But it was really hard to kind of separate from those young men.
Yeah.
You know, young people that you have a chance to come in and give an opportunity to and build relationships with, you know, but also athletics is growing.
Yeah.
At Stillman. We've got some really good things going on. We've got some good plans in the future. Yeah. And I just thought that I just needed more time to really hone in on everything and didn't want to take anything away from those young people.
Yeah.
I believe your head coach has got to be present.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be there for them every day.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to cheat them out by far. Yeah. But we've got a good young coach who's in place, and the program continues to trend upwards.
Yeah, and in some ways, you're the head coach now of the whole program. So, like you said, you got a lot on your plate. But it is an exciting time. The move to the HBCU Athletic Conference seems to have been just a perfect situation for Stillman.
Yeah, yeah. We're excited about it. You know, I knew that we were going to, you know, do well in this conference, not just from a competitive standpoint mm-hmm. of view, but from a good fit mm-hmm. collegially. Collegiate-wise, you know, our players, we recruit some of the same players.
Yeah.
You know, schools across this region. But we've kind of got our footing in this conference now, knowing what to expect, knowing how to compete, knowing what the landscape is, because the conference is growing as well.
Yeah, it is.
And we're excited about that. So we've done well in year one, mm-hmm. you know, and we got to keep the momentum trending upward.
I've been here for a while, so, you know, when Stillman initially went from NCAA Division II to NAIA, it was a little bit of trepidation, but it's been a great move, and it's really benefited the college, not just athletically, but as a whole.
Yeah, we're excited about the opportunities that the NAIA present. You know, one thing that we've really hung our hat on is, you know, the NAIA's program called Champions of Character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so over the past, you know, even before we got to HBAC in the Southern States,
mm-hmm.
you know, we were one of those schools in top tier when it comes to a goal standing mm-hmm. As it pertains to aligning with mm-hmm. The membership and the morals and the principles of the NAIA. So Champions of Character has been good for us, and we've been good stewards of that as well. So we're excited about it.
One thing that I have liked since I've been in Tuscaloosa is, you listen, obviously the University of Alabama, it dominates this community in every way. But Stillman College, first of all, it's a beautiful campus.
Yeah.
Out in West Tuscaloosa, it's gorgeous. If you haven't been out there, just go drive around. UA is beautiful, so is Stillman.
Yeah.
But the synergy between UA and Stillman and Stillman's niche here, and because it could sometimes, I think people could say, well, you could just get overwhelmed by the University of Alabama. Mm-hmm. But that hasn't happened. And the University of Alabama, I think, has been a good attribute to Stillman. You've worked together with them very well.
Yeah, I think when you have your own identity
mm-hmm.
and you have your own mission, purpose, and you know what your position is in the community, mm-hmm. You know what it takes to engage the community, mm-hmm. engage your supporters, and even engage with UA. You don't get overwhelmed by those things. You know, it's almost a compliment to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And so we feel that Stillman has its own brand. It's planted. It's deeply rooted in the community, has been for a long time, mm-hmm. and will continue to be as the years progress.
From an athletic department standpoint, you're always trying to grow. You know, money's important. There's no other way around it. And you've got your second annual fundraising golf tournament coming up soon.
Yeah. We're August 22nd. You know, it's something new for Stillman, mm-hmm. for the community, for athletics in general. You know, and we thought about this for a while over the past 3 years, and how can we, you know, have more of a presence in the community, have a more of a reach, and mm-hmm. support our student athletes at the same time. The underlying premise was that,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get a new medium that people would buy into, that people like to do, and mm-hmm. people like to play golf,
mm-hmm.
you know, in this area. And so we conceptualized a golf tournament once our new president came on board, Dr. Yolanda W. Page. You know, she was excited about mm-hmm. it. She was threw her support behind it. And so last year was the first year. A little bit of trepidation, not knowing what to expect.
Right.
A lot of hard work put into it. But Tall Pines opened their doors for us. And so we started a good relationship with them. And unfortunately, last year was a rousing success.
Yeah, August 22nd, Tall Pines Golf Club in Tuscaloosa. If people want to get involved, Coach Wood will kind of lay out the ways they can do it. Not, you know, if you want to play, obviously, or get a team, but sponsorship, volunteering, how do they find out more information?
Yeah, we have team registrations open now. Yeah. Sponsorship opportunities are open now. You can contact me directly, Terrence Whittle, twill@stillman.edu, gostillman.edu. Registrations online on our athletic website.
Yeah, folks, take advantage of this. And I know I wanted to play. Unfortunately for me, that's the first night of high school football, and I have an hour show to do on a Friday night. I told John Teasley, I said, man, I wish it had been the week before. But I mean, listen, you got to do it when you do it.
Yeah.
But
he's done a lot of work. He works hard at this golf tournament. He's actually the tournament director.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Coach Teasley, and all your coaches, but I've known Coach Teasley a long time, and both of your basketball programs, of course, I know we just lost the women's coach, but both of your basketball programs are at a real high right now.
Yeah. They're kind of driving the engine, for us. They both have done well over since I've been here in Tuscaloosa 7 years now, going on 8. And they both were signature programs when I got here. Both Coach Teasley and our former coach, Lico Dunk, they both have done a tremendous job of changing the culture of a basketball at Stillman College. And we're just very fortunate enough that their feet are planted. We have national recognition because of those two programs.
Yeah, for sure. All right, once again, folks, the golf tournament's coming up August 22nd, Tall Pines Golf Club. If people are interested in finding out more about not just the athletic department, but Stillman College as a whole, as you said, new president on board, it's a lot of good synergy right now and alignment, but people just want to find out more. I mean, obviously there's a website, but is there, does Stillman give tours? How can people just find out more about the college?
Absolutely. Those that are interested, maybe attending Stillman.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. New freshmen, transfer students, contact our missions, the department, enrollment management. Dr. Roland Buller, he heads that up. Mm-hmm. We have a great team of people that are helping to grow Stillman. Mm-hmm. So is this an exciting time, to kind of join Stillman, be a part of what's happening at Stillman
College? Yeah, if you're listening and you're a prospective student, and as I said, call out there. It's a beautiful campus, tree-lined, great facilities. Just drive out there and maybe drive around and take a look.
Absolutely. We're excited. We'd love people to come and just see our campus. Beautiful facilities, gymnasium, had a floor redone about 2 years ago. Yeah. Sports complex is good. Softball team is doing really well. We're excited for Coach Penfield, conference champions this year. So we're going to be looking for a ring ceremony for them coming this fall. And our track program is doing exceptional. Mm-hmm. Past 4 years, we had a national qualifier in both cross country and track. So things are trending up. Volleyball team has kind of turned the corner there. Mm-hmm. So excited about those young women and what we can expect. Obviously, they come in here August 1. Mm-hmm. So we're excited about our volleyball season coming up.
Yeah, athletic facilities are top notch. And as you said, your protege is taking over the baseball program, I hope he doesn't feel any extra pressure with you being the AD.
He's a young, energetic coach. Coach Rashad Webster has a baseball pedigree background. His father was a major leaguer.
That's right, yeah.
He kind of hopped right in. Year one, we brought him in 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously I was in the AD role. And, hey, listen, man, you're going to be the everyday operations guy. And so he, without a blink, he kind of jumped in and took on that challenge. And so he's helped to grow the program a lot. And so a lot of the success that baseball has had is due to him. So it was a good fit and the right choice to kind of put him in that seat.
In closing, if this happens to be your introduction to Stillman Athletics, again, a full service athletic department, men's sports. They offer baseball, basketball, bowling, cross country, and track and field. On the women's side, basketball, bowling, cross country, softball, track and field, and volleyball. Find out more at gostillman.com. That's gostillman.com, and get involved in that golf tournament on August 22nd. Thank you, Coach Whittle.
Thank you, sir.
All right, that is going to wrap it up for our Stillman segment. We're going to take a timeout, and when we come back, we're going to be open for phone calls on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904. 205-342-9904. Go ahead and give us a call. We're wide open for phone calls in the next segment here on The Gary Harris Show. We'll be right back.
West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the TuscaloosaThread.com headlines brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. A heat advisory in effect through 9 tomorrow night for all of West Alabama with heat indices upwards of 107 degrees. Or as ABC 3340 Chief Meteorologist James Spann calls it, another summer day in the Deep South.
It will be hot, it will be humid, and some folks could see a thunderstorm this afternoon.
Be sure to take adequate precautions. The Northport City Council will consider a resolution tonight in support of University Beach's application to receive tax rebates from the Sweet Home Alabama Tourism Investment Act of 2023. And three men are in Bibb County Jail facing various child sexual abuse charges in Brent. Don't buy your new or pre-owned Mercedes-Benz from anywhere other than Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. Our local team provides a five-star buying experience and five-star service. Over 100...
WTPC 1230 Sports Radio Studio is presented by B-Dry Alabama. B-Dry Waterproofing. Online at BDryAlabama.com.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair, featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after hours.
126 McFarland Boulevard East in Tuscaloosa. Easy financing and top-tier service at Alabama Campers. And online at alabamacampers.com.
The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:19. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. 205-342-9904 is the number on the Storage Center hotline. If you want to give us a ring, 205-342-9904. Casey Smith on golf coming up in the next segment. Phillip's call got me interested in, you know, he's right. Alabama looks like it's got a very deep roster. I told him I'd have him on next week to kind of break it down. But I don't know when we'll get a depth chart. You know, Coach Saban wouldn't give one out until, you know, game day or right before the season started. And it would always say, you know, that, you know, don't read too much into anything. But when you look at Alabama's roster, you know, let's start with quarterback. Let's just kind of run through it a little bit. You know, I'm looking at the roster right now. Obviously, the projected starter, I think, chased by most people is Ty Simpson. He has not been named the starter, and I know Caden Proctor went to great lengths last week at SEC Media Days to say that there's a quarterback competition, and technically there is. I think we'd all be surprised if Ty Simpson isn't the starter. Having said that, Austin Mack and Keelon Russell are right behind him. If something happened that he were to struggle, and we hope that doesn't happen. I always say it's better for the quarterback that starts the first game to start the last game. But if that were to be the case, they've got some talent behind him. Max played a little bit after transferring in from Washington. Keelon Russell is a true freshman. Running back, Jam Miller, the projected starter. But you've got Richard Young and Daniel Hill behind him. And then you've got some players coming in that have talent that I think that Alabama feels really good about. I think this is going to wind up being a very deep running back room. A.K. Deer, the talented freshman out of Quitman, Mississippi, is one to watch. But the top three going into the season will probably be Miller, Young, and Hill. Wide receiving core, really excited about this group. The top three... Well, we know Ryan Williams and Jeremy Bernard, returning starters. And then Isaiah Horton, I think, will step in from Miami. But there's a lot of talent back behind him. Rico Scott, Lodzire Brooks, Jalen Hill, who's coming off that injury. Cole Adams coming off an injury. Jalen Mbakwe moves over from corner to wide receiver. Lodzire Brooks, though, the true freshman, I think is going to be electric. Similar to the same mode as Ryan Williams. All right, tight end is a concern a little bit just because they lost two really good tight ends off last year's team. Josh Cuevas is probably the best, or even last year, I think was the best of the tight ends as far as catching the ball. He's not nearly as big as the two tight ends that graduated, but I think he'll be the starter. Danny Lewis Jr. returns, but they brought in some freshmen to watch. Caleb Edwards, Marshall Pritchett. So I think the tight end position will be a work in progress a little bit, but I feel pretty good about it. Offensive line at tackle, you got Caden Proctor and Wilkin Formby as your starters, left tackle and right tackle. But there's some guys behind them. Olasalenin's been in the program for a while. Arquell Ingwam, a newcomer. Jackson Lloyd, talented, super talented freshman. At guard, Jaden Roberts is a returning starter for a couple of years. Cam Dewberry transfers in from Texas A&M. Geno Vandermark, Michael Carroll, and Brookwood product William Sanders provide some depth there. And at center, obviously, I think you got Parker Brailsford, who's one of the best in the country. But Rock Montgomery is a guy to watch there for the future out of Oxford. Joseph Iannotta as well. All right, real quickly, I'm going to run through the defense because when we get to a phone call, when you look at, and I'm not going to break this down necessarily by position, just as much to say they've got a lot of depth on the defensive line. LT Overton, Tim Keenan, Quay Rousseau, Kelby Collins, Jordan Renaud, Keelan Keeley, James Smith, Jeremiah Beeman, Steve Mbuemoa, Edric Hill. So that's a position that I think could wind up being really, really solid. Linebackers, I feel great about Deontay Lawson and Justin Jefferson. Nikai Hill Green comes in with a lot of experience. Caden Jones. And then in the secondary, I mean, there is an embarrassment of riches here. You look at corner with Damani Jackson and Zabian Brown, Cam Calhoun, Dijon Lee, Chuck McDonald. Safety, Keon Saab, Bray Hubbard, Xavier Mincy, Drake Kirkpatrick Jr., Ivan Taylor, Deshaun Jones, Red Morgan. Kicking, hey, listen, specialist-wise, there's some concern here. Got to break in a new kicker, probably Connor Talty, new punter. Looks like it could be Blake Dowd or Alex Asparoff. And got to get a new snapper, David Byrd. Looks like the guy there. So that's a quick rundown of the depth chart. Right now, let's jump out on the Storage Center hotline and talk to Ragged Glory. Hey, Ragged Glory.
Hey, good morning, Gary. Woo, I tell you, it's like TGIF for you, isn't it?
It is. It kind of is.
Man, it's so cool. I'm so glad you deserve this break. And I can send you with nothing but prayers and blessings for a safe week. Enjoy it. Relax. Don't worry about nothing. Hey, we almost did it on Sunday. Woo, what a race.
Yeah, it was a great race. And obviously, you and I had Chase, and he had a chance there at the end. But I'm still kicking myself for not picking Denny Hamlin. I
understand that. No worries. But, woo, hey, the consolation that we can actually get out of this is Chase is now first in points.
Yeah. Oh, no. Listen, he's running really, really well. He's having a good year, and he had a good race yesterday. There's nothing wrong with a top five finish for sure. But if I had it to do over again, I would have taken Denny, and it would have been 4-3, and I'd had three wins in a row. Instead, it's 5-2, and Matt's extended his lead. But,
Hey, well, you know what? The season's not over.
No, it's not. So maybe I'll make a comeback, Ragged Glory.
Yeah. Hey, and you know what? We got Indianapolis coming up now. That's a whole different beast. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we sure will. And like I said, I'll be out this week. But Wyatt Fulton's going to be sitting in with me. And NASCAR's not his cup of tea, but he doesn't have to know a lot about it because Matt knows so much about it. So we will still have the NASCAR segment on Wednesday.
What about the Larry?
Probably not going to do the music segment this week. I'm going to let Larry know just because Wyatt is, he's just not, he's so much younger than us for one thing, and he's just not real comfortable doing a music segment. So we'll take a break, but we'll be back a week from Wednesday, ready to go.
Amen. You know what? Enjoy. And just like the Beach Boys sang, fun, fun, fun. Go do it, bro.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ragged Glory. Appreciate you. All right, 1027 here on the Gary Harris Show. The YMCA of Tuscaloosa. Love that place. The Y is ready for you and you're ready for the Y. 2300 13th Street, downtown Tuscaloosa. In fact, I was, after I played golf yesterday afternoon out at Old Colony, I was sitting at Billy's grabbing an early dinner last night, and we started talking about, because I had my knee sleeve on, and a guy asked me, does that really help you? And I'm like, yeah, it gives me some support. And we started talking about working out, and he had not been to the new Y, has not been to the new Y. And I told him, he said, well, I'm going to go by and check it out, because I was telling him how great it is. I said, yeah, you need to. He said he'd been a member at the old Y years and years ago. And I said, well, you need to get by the new Y. Of course, it's not that new anymore. It's going on 10 years old. But I said, get by and check it out. You'll absolutely love it. And so will you. The YMCA of Tuscaloosa, 2300 13th Street downtown. Find out more at ymcatuscaloosa.org. We're going to be back with Casey Smith on golf next year on The Gary Harris Show.
It's quick, it's easy, and it's free. Go to mylocalcustomers.com today.
That's mylocalcustomers.com. Mylocalcustomers.com.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well, The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. It's time for Casey Smith on golf, and Lord knows we got a lot to cover today, beginning with Scottie Scheffler in the Open Championship, but some other topics that I want to get into as well. And again, I said this earlier on the show, I'm disappointed that the major golf season is already over. I don't like the calendar. I wish the PGA Championship was still right before football season. It gave us a big event to look forward to. Now it's condensed down, you know, April through July, and it's over, but we'll get into that in a moment. We're going to begin with Scotty. Good morning, Casey. How are you?
I'm doing great, Gary. Hope you're doing well.
Doing super. I mean, I read these numbers that Kyle Porter, respected golf writer, put out from Per Data Golf, and obviously they're doing their personalities are completely different, as we've talked about, and you know the way Scotty does it, and the comments that he made post Open Championship win yesterday and pre-Open Championship, totally different personalities. But when you look at the numbers, Scotty, let's start with Tiger. Tiger from 2002 to 2005 played 79 events, won 18 times, four majors, no players, and gained 2.8 shots per round on the field. Scotty from 2022 to right now, 81 events, 21s, 20 wins, four majors, two players championships, and he's also gained 2.8 shots per round on the field. Amazing comparison statistically, completely different off the course personality. Tiger was a generational talent, but he was also generational off the course and what he brought to the game, and just a huge figure. Scotty, completely different, but golf wise, right now, he's just as dominant in his prime as Tiger was in his.
Yeah. I mean, Scotty Scheffler has found another gear, right? He has been known to lead and one of the best iron players, you know, of this run that he's been on that we've ever seen. And, you know, I've listened to him hear about, he used to be a really smaller guy as a kid growing up, and he had an elite short game. And then he grew as a junior in high school and became, you know, a little bit longer. And then he went through a little stage where he's feisty. But the one thing that he sort of got to become this really elite iron player, and then people question his putting. And he hired a putting coach, Phil Kenyon, who's an acclaimed putting coach, about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, and, you know, switched to putter 13 wins later since switching to putter. And those 13 wins have all been in like the last 16 months. But he led the tournament in putting yesterday. And so for four rounds, he was number one in strokes gained putting. And when he's number one in strokes gained putting, everyone else is playing for second. He got to an eight-shot lead yesterday, sort of coasted to a four-shot win. But some of the stuff that he's doing is, you know, he's completed three legs of the Grand Slam before the age of 30, and there's only been a few players ever do that. Walter Hagen, Byron Nelson never went on to win one, and Jordan Spieth hasn't won his fourth leg. But the others, sort of a list that very indicative of him going to complete this. He's 29. Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy have all done that now, and they completed three legs by the age of 30. I don't see him slowing down his approach to golf. It's not his number one priority. Faith and family are first. It's just sort of next tournament. He gets there, feels like everyone's back at even par. I could not be a bigger fan of this guy. He is all-world person. Doesn't change him when he wins. And then he goes out there like a surgeon, one of the most patient golfers we've ever seen. Won at all levels, won big. I mean, you know, I won't be shocked if he wins the next tournament they play. But he plays in, which is the FedEx Cup playoffs in Memphis.
Exactly. And getting back to the Tiger comparison, I mean, obviously Tiger, you know, when he first came out on tour, he was unbelievable. And he obviously went a lot more times than Scotty did early in Scotty's career. But in that age range, 26 to 29, what Scotty's been able to do is phenomenal. And also, you got to take into account that once Tiger started dealing with some injuries and so forth like that, Scotty, you know, could still be piling up a lot of wins in his 30s. It'll be interesting to watch for sure. The tournament itself, the weather was incredible. You know, you couldn't expect 4 days of gorgeous weather like you got at Royal Point Rush there in Northern Ireland, but you did. But the tournament itself, as we've kind of was a little bit anticlimactic, because once Scotty seized it on Saturday, he never really allowed anybody else to make a run.
Yeah, I mean, he's won four majors by 17 shots. When he gets to winning a major or gets ahead, he just sort of creeps on ahead. And, you know, I think probably the one thing that I gather from a lot of people I know that have played there and been there on site, that golf course is really incredible to see in person. Television really doesn't do it a justice. And the way that they cover, you know, golfers, they're just covering the first guys. And so you miss a lot of the Vista shots. But it was a little bit of a boring-ish tournament. If you're just a casual golf fan, yes, I would concur with you. But, you know, got to see how a guy like that never lets off the gas, even though I think he lulls him to sleep, because he has such a just chill, even kill personality. And, you know, he told him it doesn't really mean as much to him as there, you know, earlier in the week, and he goes out there and just grills him. And so I feel like he sucked him into another dominant performance from him. And it was just a masterclass of how you go attack a major championship. You know, the thing that I thought might get him is those were some of the slowest greens. They had some bounce to them, but some of the slower greens that they play in any open rota, and they, especially when they play on the PGA Tour, they have a pretty routine setup. And I was thinking that might hurt him, because his best putting in any previous win has come on faster greens. And that was one of the tournaments he hadn't been able to win yet, was the Open. And then he felt like he putted great last week at the Scottish Open. He was in the hunt, and bang, here it all comes out. And he said they worked on his putting of just he's putting with a claw grip and letting that hand release a little bit more, and just sort of found magic. And, you know, he's going to be one of the top iron players, if not the top iron player in strokes gained approach every week out there that he's playing. And like I said, when he gets to be number one in putting, it's got to be scary for everyone else. And you could hear all the other players, all the top names, they interviewed them after the round. I was listening to every one of them. They would ask him what they thought. And it was what you heard from guys in the Tiger Woods era, the guys in the Jack Nicklaus era. They realize that if he's playing good, they're playing for second.
Wow. Well, Cowboy has wore me out about you and I picking, you picking Rahm and me picking Rory, and he picked Scheffler, and just has been just wearing me out the how we could not pick Scheffler. But let's talk about the guys we picked. Rahm did not have a great tournament. Wasn't awful, but wasn't great. I thought Rory played well. Had Scotty not been in the field, Rory would have been in contention. But our guys, so I want to acknowledge Cowboy for picking Scotty Scheffler.
Oh, there you go. Congrats, Cowboy, on your pick.
Yeah, because he's been letting me hear about it. All right, let's get to Justin Thomas, because obviously that's a focal point for us here in Tuscaloosa. And I'm just so, because I follow him so closely, I'm just kind of, it's just peculiar to me trying to figure out exactly where he's at. He's having a good year. He's number four in the world. He's got a win. He's done so many good things. But again, you know, it's easy to forget that one. You know, you go back to 2017, 2018. We were talking about Justin Thomas maybe being a generational talent, you know. And by the time he was 28, he had 15 wins. He had two majors. He had a Players. And then the last 3 years, it's really slowed down. Now, he did get to win it at the Heritage earlier this year. But I'm going to focus on the majors, because I didn't realize this until I was looking at the numbers. There has only been one season since he's been on tour that he made the cut in every major. And oddly enough, that was his first full season in the majors, 2016. He had a T39 in the Masters, T32 in the U.S. Open, T53 in the Open Championship, and a T18 in the PGA Championship. No other season has he made the cut in all four of the majors, which is just, it's unbelievable to me. And we know in the Open Championship, T34 was actually pretty good for him. He's not had a good record there. But let's look at this year, Casey. T36 in the Masters, a T34 in the Open Championship, missed the cut in the PGA, missed the cut in U.S. Open. He is a guy who said, once he established himself, that he was kind of taking the Tiger and Jack approach. You know, the majors are how I want to be measured. I want to win multiple majors, which he's done, two PGA championships. But look at the last 2 years in particular, four missed cuts. He did have a top 10 last year at the PGA championship. And then you go back to 2023, he missed three cuts and had a T65 in the PGA championship. So really, since his PGA championship come from behind win in 2022, let's just say, be honest, he's been bad in the majors. But yet he continues to apply the same strategy every year of how he prepares for majors. I know golfers are stubborn. He seems to be one of the more stubborn ones out there. At what point do you look at what you're doing and try something different, whether it's changing your schedule, maybe not, you know, maybe playing the week before? He did play the Scottish Open, but what he's doing is not in line with the talent that he has in the major championships, Casey.
No, it's not. I would also say maybe he's getting even more out this year of his game than you would think, because he's driving it. His driving accuracy is like 154, which is not very good. And his driving distance has been really good. So that combined that, it's like 91. Strokes gained putting is like 135. You know, so he's got some. He's still a good iron player out there, the elite, but he's not like where he was. So he's not in, statistically, he's not in any of the categories that you really, when you're, you know, comparing him to who's winning. For instance, Scotty Scheffler made, an eagle, 20 birdies, two bogeys and a double. Justin Thomas made 16 birdies, nine bogeys and two doubles. You know, when you look at it that way, he's just not. The misses mm-hmm. are bigger than the guy like Scotty Scheffler, who is the barometer. I would say for JT's sake, he's just got to keep trying to get better at putting and really get to driving a little bit straighter. And that's where that horses for courses thing comes in. I'm shocked he hasn't fared as well at the Masters, given his creativity, given his ability to hit it high, because you're not penalized with a wild driver as much, but you really do have to be able to putt and see big breaks and all that. So I think, you know, he is definitely having a really good year, and he's seems to be getting a lot out of his game relative to where some of the stats point. So I think it's just really hard and the fields are really deep. I also feel like exactly how you feel. I don't know how he's going to perform at the Ryder Cup. He's going to make the team. He's in seventh right now. Top six are automatic. I'd be shocked if he didn't make the team based on the year he's having. But, you know, he should also hopefully he'll play really well here down the stretch leading up to make that pick easier. But I'm with you. It's hard to handicap him. He's been consistent this year, but, you know, he's not been elite dominant to where I think he probably knows that he can be. So it's like tighten up your driving a little bit more and really continue to work on your putting.
Yeah, you said it like yesterday. I mean, he had six birdies, but and some of that, I watched some of him, Casey, and I want you to speak to this because some of the errors seem to be mental errors to me. I mean, it's like if you're going to hit a three wood off the tee, then the last thing you can do is go in a fairway bunker. I mean, that just can't happen. I mean, those fairway bunkers out there are penal. It's like they said on the broadcast yesterday. It's like they're like a shot penalty. So I know occasionally if you're trying to hit a driver, you're trying to, you know, but he seems to make errors where he's hitting a club not to make an error, you know. I guess my thought process is if you're going to go to fairway bunker with an iron or a three wood, what are you hitting it for? I don't sometimes or you know, he just doesn't all. I mean, Scotty, as you said, the way he gets himself around, the way he doesn't, he doesn't follow up a mistake with a mistake. That doesn't seem to be the case with JT. He's mistake prone in the sense, I don't know if it's emotional with him, but once he makes a mistake, he seems more times to not to pile up, and that's why he's getting them, you know, he's making the amount of double bogeys that he's making.
Yeah, I mean, his game is very much so to me. It is his game, pass, everything is a lot like a Phil Mickelson. They play really riding the wave of emotion and momentum. They get hot, they go on these runs, then they have these crazy mental lapses and blocks, makes a bad score, and then you're fighting back. Scotty, if he makes a bogey, it's like 90% chance birdie the next hole. He follows his mistake with something that's going to get it back and doesn't let it flap him. JT, you know, you can see he cares. It really matters to him, and he puts a lot of time and work into it, but he also, you can see where he's, you know, pretty hot after he does that. And, a lot of it's just trying so hard to make something happen. Something else like my own game. You know, you have the ability, you know, to birdie any hole, and then you try so hard, you bring in these bogeys and doubles instead of just taking what the course gives you and not really trying to be too cute. I mean, we've seen Phil over the time do the same thing, hit irons and fairway bunkers at fairway woods out of bounds, and then where you're just like, God, I could have just hit a driver. And that's sort of where some of the stuff JT does. It is a head scratcher. Guy's got all world talent. Hopefully, you know, I'd love to see him on the Ryder Cup team. And I hate that he was inside the top six and he slipped a little bit. So hopefully that happens so we can see him out there, because we know what type of passion he brings to that event.
All right, we'll get to the Ryder Cup in a moment. Back here stateside, the Barracuda Championship, where Nick Dunlap was the defending champion, and he was absolutely abysmal again. I mean, brutal. I mean, the first round was terrible. Played a little bit better in the second round, but not even close in the Stableford point system to make the cut. Again, listen, I don't know what's going on. I mean, it's hard. It's a hard game, even at that level. He got so much so soon. But at some point, I don't know what he'll do in the post after the season. Again, I mean, I know he's only 21 years old. I feel like he's going to be a great player before it's all said and done. But when you're in a funk like this, I mean, I looked at some of the shots that he hits off the tee, Casey. I mean, I hate to say this, but they're like shots I hit. I mean, I follow somebody.
He's close to the driver. He's as close to the driver hips as you can get without getting the driver hips, which is really scary because he hits it. He's, you know, and I'm sure when you're standing over the ball, you're thinking, where is this one going? That's got to be the scariest thing, especially in professional golf. It's amplified much less than just out in recreational golf. This guy's got all-world talent. He's won a U.S. Amateur. He won college events. He's won everything. He won two PGA Tour events. And he's probably standing on the tee. And I'm not saying probably. I'm pretty sure this is what he's feeling, because this is what they all feel. He doesn't know where the ball's going. And so, yeah, there's going to have to be some changes made, because that's a scary feeling, and it's also a career ender. But we've seen some signs of, like, even with all that craziness, he still made 3 birdies in that round one and shot 78. But he made six bogeys and 2 doubles.
Mm.
And they're all from just bad golf swings, you know? And it's you know, when you're having the yips, it's just all, it's so mental. And that's what I gather, you know? I mean, thankfully, knock on wood, I haven't ever had them. And then the second round was the same thing. I mean, he ended his round with an eagle, and maybe that was a high note to end on, and he made 3 other birdies. But he still made a double and a bogey. So, I mean, out there, it's hard to make a double. It's hard to overcome bogeys, much less doubles in each round or multiple doubles. You're out there. I mean, it's just impossible to come over unless you're just birdieing every hole. So he's going to have to put some work in and figure out what's going on and what's causing this. And he'll be playing in the fall too. I mean, he's not going to be in the same status he was going into this year after having those wins. He's going to have to play some fall golf just to continue to improve his status and get some of this stuff worked out.
Well, I hope to goodness he can figure it out, because, like I said, when you look on the chart sometimes and you'll see a drive listed at 175 yards and it's 200 yards to the left. It's like, my God, how does a pro golfer hit that shot? You know, some of the tee balls as he hit them, you're right, you don't see many guys out there on tour. I mean, he's hit some shots. I don't know how he, you know, again, I can only see the chart. I can only see the graphic. I didn't actually see him hit it. But there was one drive.
He's given up 2 shots on the field almost in driving accuracy.
It's incredible. It's unbelievable. All right, let's get to the Ryder Cup, because it's a hot topic conversation now coming out of the Open Championship. And, you know, Zach Johnson had a little bit different approach a couple years ago. It was clear that he did not embrace LIV. And I don't know that Keegan Bradley embraces LIV, but he's a good captain for the LIV contingent, because he's made it clear that he's going to get who he thinks are the 12 best players. And I thought Bryson DeChambeau did some politicking yesterday following his Open Championship press conference, or following the Open his round, in that he said, you know, he left a nice note for the players. He said, well, he wasn't going to say what was on the note. It was personal, but he wound up saying it. Basically, it said, I'm tired of losing to these guys. Bryson DeChambeau made it clear that he plans on being on the team, and that basically Keegan Bradley's told him he's going to be on the team. I think there is still some pushback to LIV from the gap seems to be wider. We know how some people feel, but it appears that there will be, even if they're not automatic qualifiers, that there's going to be some LIV golfers on this Ryder Cup team.
Yes. Well, I mean, all 4 majors this year were won by PGA Tour golfers. I know that makes you happy.
It does.
But yeah, I mean, Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, JJ Spott, and Russell Henley, Bryson and Harris English are your top 6. Harris moved up 4 spots to that second place finish. Bryson's on the team. I would think if Bryson's on the team at 5, then JT's probably on the team at 6. Morikawa will be on the team at 8, which means 7 and 8. Keegan, I don't see how he doesn't pick himself. He split a spot back. And then it's really like, who are going to be the other 3 players? Keegan just wants to win. I thought for a while there that Patrick Reed would make the team potentially, but I knew he was going to have to play really well in the Open, and he didn't. So it's a crapshoot for the final 3 spots. I don't think it's going to be a favoritism thing this time around. Keegan, truthfully, just wants to win. He played his college golf at St. John. They played their home course was Bethpage Black. I mean, there's a lot of he's from New England. He's going to put it all on the line to win this. And Bryson should be on the team. I mean, look, he's the most accomplished LIV player that's an American. And John Rahm's going to be on the European team. I think Sergio will be on the European team. The European team could have 3 or 4 LIV guys. I think Terrell Hatton will be on the LIV team.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably 3. I really just don't see how we'll have but 1. Unless he just took a flyer on Brooks Koepka, who didn't have a great year. Patrick Reed, even though he is Captain America and his record speaks for itself, he's just not that well-liked. So that could be the only favoritism thing. But it's not really favoritism because he's not even on the list. I mean,
right.
He's not high enough on the points list. And I know what they're going to argue is, they don't have enough opportunities. But look, Bryson's made the best most of his. He's going to qualify without having to have a captain's pick. I just think that we're going to have one live guy from the U.S., and I think we'll have probably three from Europe.
All right, great stuff as always, Casey, and we'll be back next week, and we'll break it all down again. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Gary.
All right, it is 10:54. We'll take a timeout, come back and wrap up this edition of the Gary Harris Show right after this.
Every day is a place that you can hang out, eat, or let the kids play in the wall ball area. We're the only place your party size doesn't matter. Focused on family, come visit one of the five restaurants at the Venue Tuscany.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house.
Cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor's social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama.
Decorate your locker days and paint outside the line days. All at prices that will definitely make your day. For all of the above, it's back to school at Target.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partly sunny, hot and humid today. A few spots could see a shower or storm this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 93. Tonight's low, 75. Tomorrow, morning sun. A few scattered storms by afternoon. The high, 94. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 88 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Catch every game and every moment right here. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:57. This is going to wrap it up for this edition of the Gary Harris Show. And kind of like I said, the calm before the storm. Next week, be full force football as college football practices, high school be cranking up too. We'll be ready for it here on the Gary Harris Show. But for the rest of the week, I'm going to be out, and Wyatt Fulton is going to be in for me for the rest of the week on the Gary Harris Show. But he'll do a good job filling in. Also, he'll handle T-Town Sports Daily as well. All right, that's going to wrap it up for the show. And I want to thank Chase for his good work. And I'll be taking a break, as I said, for a few days, but I'll be back on Saturday, and Wyatt Fulton will be sitting in for me on the Gary Harris Show. All right, have a great week, everybody, and I will talk to you again on Monday.